Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Happy Friday out there. It is April 5th, 2024. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show, as always. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how are you doing?
I'm having a fantastic day. I'm not sure if you saw the news.
I probably didn't if it has to do with a movie.
But 1999's The Mummy is being re-released in theaters with Oscar winner Brendan Fraser.
You're hyped up.
And I'm hyped up. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day in the 901.
How's Brendan Fraser doing these days?
He's doing great. He's an Oscar winner. He just was in Killers of the Flower Moon. He's doing great.
Yeah, I'd still need to see Killers.
You haven't seen that?
I have
not.
You
still need to see Dune 2.
Yeah, I have Dune 2 and Killers of the Flower Moon on the agenda. I got through Oppenheimer. I shouldn't say got through. That's the wrong way of putting it. Just watched Oppenheimer. So no, those two are on the docket.
Okay.
So they'll get done. And maybe, just maybe, I'll go see the re-released Mummy. When is it supposed to be?
I think like April 24.
You're really hyped up.
I love the Mummy. The Mummy is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, what do you feel about the re-release of a movie though in theaters? Like,
seeing a movie on the big screen is a special thing.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing The Mummy when I was 5 years old, so I'll probably go check it out.
Okay. Well, I mean, The Mummy, you know, you could just watch it at home. You probably have a good sound system, TV.
You're dang right, I do.
Exactly. I've seen your setup, buddy.
Listen, there's something special about seeing a movie on the big screen.
I hear you. Now, there's something special about what Penny's doing in the portal through 2 days. 2 days, two commits, P.J. Haggerty and Dane Danger. We'll talk about that in a second, but we have 2.5 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to pass you off to Grizzlies versus the Pistons. Got two games at home here. Tomorrow will be Marc Gasol night. That's beautiful. That's just poetic and beautiful. We did have the Marc Gasol greatest hits. Have you listened to the vinyl?
I don't think I'm going to open it, to be quite honest. I didn't open my Zeebo one, so I don't think I'm going to open my Marc.
I have the Zeebo one sitting at home, in my man cave, sort of in my man cove upstairs. So it's right there. I probably need to add my Marc Gasol one right next to it. Going and listening to Pete and having that on a vinyl, if you put that on your record player, I'd probably judge you. I'd probably judge
during a party.
Yeah.
Just put on Marcus Saul's greatest hits.
Yeah. I don't know if it would hit that well at a party.
I can't wait for the Tony and Mike ones, too. Those
would
be cool.
But we're going to pass you off to Jessica Benson for pregame tip. We'll be at 7 for Grizzlies versus Pistons. But we have plenty to get to between now and then. Tigers transfer portal Dane Danger commits. There's a couple of other targets and maybe a potential reunion on the way. I'll talk about that with a certain Lawson. That is worth mentioning. We'll talk about the Grizzlies weekend in general. A little bit of NFL news along the way. We'll talk about the Final Four. We have the women's Final Four tonight. It's beautiful. I think the 8:30 game's what everybody's paying attention to. You have UConn and Iowa, Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark. I do respect Paige Beckers a whole lot. And she's been on this, you know, she's been trying to get women's basketball the respect it deserves over the since she's been at UConn. But she's very much one that says we need to spread out the love. Instead of making it Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers, let's make it UConn versus Iowa. Let's make it a little, you know, let's get everybody their love. But that will be tonight, and then tomorrow we will have the men's Final Four, so we'll discuss that throughout the show. At 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show. It's going to be a little bit shorter because I know he has some writing to do. And then 6 o'clock, before we get you out for Grizzlies versus Pistons, we do have to talk with somebody who is in the know on what has happened with the Tigers and Penny's portal. That would be Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian covering Tigers basketball. He'll join at 6 o'clock. We'll talk about everything under the sun that has to do with Tigers basketball, and then get to a little bit of Final Four as well, because he has some, you know, he has a little bit of rooting interest. He started his college career at North Carolina State. He told me today that he originally wanted to be a engineer of sorts. So he went to North Carolina State, and then after a year, he decided not his cup of tea. Started writing at the end of that first year at North Carolina State, transferred into North Carolina, who has a great journalism school, by the way, and then handled his business from there.
We know many people that have had that path of engineer for 1 year, and then they're just like, nah, this sucks. Yeah.
this is harder than I expected. But if you get through a whole engineering program, you're gonna be pretty shiny on the other side.
I always have had a lot of respect for people that got through engineering in college, because there's just no way in hell I could ever do it.
Yeah, no. I was very much journalism minor.
Yeah, I could barely pass basic math in college. I was told there were no math.
Yeah. I mean, I hated, like, when you had to do your general education stuff.
Yeah.
Like, taking the algebra courses.
Took a lot of Spanish instead of math.
I took a bunch of Spanish. What's funny, I got through Spanish 5 in high school, but I didn't get any of those credits transferred, even though I could have gotten college credits.
No bueno.
And had it out of the way, but I didn't. So I had to take my Spanish credits as soon as I got into college. But it was easy at that point. I mean, I aced every single course. I always hated the science courses, too. Never for me. Never for me. Math and science never was my strong suit. ACT was boosted up by my English and reading comprehension when I was going into college.
Same.
Yeah. What'd you get on your ACT? Do you want to share out? 29? Look at you.
Yeah.
I got a 27. I thought I was doing well for myself.
No, the math, it pulled me down. I got a 24 in math, and I couldn't get it past that.
Yeah, I got like a 22 in math.
Yeah, 29.
So there is that. There is that. And I think people heard my math earlier this week where I was wrong and then had to correct myself on air. But, hey, I was always told getting into this field that there would be no math, but there is some math that you have to get through. Now let's start with the Tigers transfer portal. Yesterday, P.J. Haggerty commits to Memphis. That was the big domino, huge domino. And I think what we're going to see for the rest of this portal class is I think some people will look at the P.J. Haggerty commitment and they will want to follow and want to play next to a guy like that. 21 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game, 3 more years of eligibility. But today, Dane Danger, who was the only guy we really knew was on campus this week. Apparently, P.J. Haggerty was on campus as well. But Dane Danger commits to Memphis today. He has 2 real seasons worth of eligibility, even though it says he's a junior going to be a senior. But he dressed out for 3 games at Baylor before transferring to Illinois after the 2021-22 season. So he has 2 more years of eligibility. That's big for, you know, you need program pillars, you need continuity. Potentially he could be here for 2 more years. The one question I've had about his fit is he seems to be a guy who is very good with his post moves, his post scoring, has really good footwork down there, and I respect it, but that's never been Penny's cup of tea. He's never been very deliberate about getting those guys the ball. And when you look at his last year's height and weight, 6'9", 270, it reminds you a little bit of sort of Jordan Brown and the size he was at. We know that the Jordan Brown experiment did not work. But Jason Munns has talked to Dane Danger from the commercial appeal, and he says he last time he weighed in, he was 258, and he's trying to, according to him and what his conversations with the staff, he's trying to get down to 240 so he can play more of an up-and-down style, because we know that at Illinois 2 years ago, he was right around 10 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and he was very good. But they switched their style, put Coleman Hawkins at the 5, stretched out to the 3-point line, got up and down the floor, and his minutes started to diminish as their offense got better. So hopefully if he gets down to 240, he's more apt to play the style that Penny and really Illinois wanted to play last year, getting up and down the floor, playing defense, doing those types of things. And he already looks, based on sort of the pictures you see from his visit at the University of Memphis, he already looks skinnier. He already looks a lot smaller, so maybe that will help him running the floor. But I thought he ran the floor relatively well the past 2 years at Illinois. But again, with Penny and the style he wants to bring to the University of Memphis when they're up, you certainly have to make sure that you're able to do that. It looks like we have some breaking news before we get to more portal news. Connor, is this just came down?
This just came down from Joe Tipton.
This was something I was kind of halfway expecting hearing throughout the week with all of the portal news, but it looks like Ashton Hardaway is getting into the portal. Penny's son is getting into the portal. He submitted his paperwork, according to Joe Tipton of On3, and it looks like he'll be elsewhere going into next year. That's a weird one. That's a tough one.
Surprising.
I've heard rumors of it all week. I don't know the relationship, you know, Penny and Ashton have behind the scenes and the role that he was going to play going forward. But that is tough to see someone's son go.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of jokes made about it, so get ready for that.
Sure. It's also tough in that it's another roster spot that you're going to have to fill now this offseason. And, you know, I think that right now Dane Danger and P.J. Haggerty and Nick Jourdain, that's a pretty good place to start from. But, you know, this just adds another one to the board that you have to fill.
And I like Ashton's – maybe on the defensive side he needs to improve, and I think that would have come with, you know, more seasoning, more years at this level. But I like his offensive bag. I like the – obviously, down the stretch of the season, he could not shoot very well, and a lot of his three-pointers were clanked and some were airballed, the whole thing. But you saw, especially in that Michigan game earlier in the year, he can really put it up from outside. I liked that thought process behind Ashton, but that's not going to be there. And it continues down this path of – I know it's hard for everybody to keep freshmen in this era of NIL and transfer portal. It's hard to keep them on campus consistently. But you thought with Ashton Hardaway, the son of the coach, he'd be able to stay here. But it continues down this path of, you know, Penny does struggle to keep guys on campus when they have extra years of eligibility. And if he can't keep his son on campus, it's hard to keep any.
Yeah, I think it's less of a Penny Hardaway issue, though, and more of just the NIL era of college basketball. You know, these younger players, there has been a tendency for them to just not want to wait their turn, or if they don't get enough playing time their freshman season, they want to go somewhere else where they believe they could be valued more. And it's just, that's why this is surprising, because it is Penny Hardaway's kid, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think it's a Penny issue.
So let's count through scholarship guys.
Yeah.
Now that Ashton's gone, Nick Jourdain, Dane Danger, P.J. Haggerty are the guarantees, and then David Jones on the outside. And then Jared Harris, their one high school guy. So that's four guaranteed and one that could be added if David Jones decides not to go to the NBA. It just opens up another roster spot, I guess. That's the way that Penny needs to look at it and the staff need to look at it. And this should add another name into the transfer portal. I think if your low ball was 7 transfer portal additions, let's up that to 8 now.
Yeah, go ahead and jack that number up.
That's tough to see, man.
It is.
That's tough to see.
It is.
And I think there'll be opportunities out there for Ashton. He was a 4-star recruit.
Absolutely.
Coming out of high school.
Yeah.
I believe he went to Duncanville, if I'm not mistaken. And he's got some ability. He needs to get more fleet of foot, right? He needs to be able to move side to side a little bit better. But damn. I mean, we talked about, Patrick McCaffrey leaving the Iowa program after 4 years and wanting to find one more year of eligibility. And we got after Fran McCaffrey, who's the head coach, and Patrick McCaffrey's his son. We got after him. I think Penny deserves some of that, maybe a little bit of that energy as well. He will get some of that energy out there from the national media, not being able to keep his son on campus. Jaden stayed here for 4 or 5 years. We get that, but Ashton will not be. in a Memphis Tiger
uniform. I'm not sure Jaden had the options, though.
Yes. Ashton is clearly the more talented player.
Yeah.
But Jaden showed a little bit throughout his sophomore and junior year, right? Like a little bit. A
little bit.
Where he got a bunch of minutes this senior year, even though he tended to struggle. Like, he earned his minutes by the time he got to his senior year. But Ashton Hardaway, if you're just now joining us, has gotten into the portal. That is Penny's son. We understand that. And he is no longer going to be a Memphis Tiger. Now, we talked about Dane Danger already. There's a couple of names out there that I think could be next in line to end up in a Tiger uniform. One is Aaron Scott from North Texas. I've already mentioned him a little bit. He's about 6'7". He's got one more year of eligibility once he got into the portal, and he's going to transfer out of North Texas. But 11 points per game, around 6 rebounds per game, very, very solid wing player on the offensive end, decent shooter from three, about 37% from three. But the big thing about him is his defensive upside. He's very, very good on the defensive side. 2 steals per game, very long, very athletic. He understands the schemes that I think Penny would sort of attach to him. So I think that would be a good addition. Now, the other one that's more interesting, you talk about Ashton leaving. We could have a Memphis reunion. We could have a reunion with a Lawson here at the University of Memphis. The Tigers have been in contact, and the staff has been in contact with Jonathan Lawson. How do you feel about that? That's an interesting career arc to go from Memphis to Creighton, not really get the minutes you wanted at either, and then come right back to Memphis when it's all said and done, if that is how this all plays out, if he does commit to the University of Memphis. I think he could be a massive help. If you need to fill out this roster, I would take Jonathan Lawson back. I think he's very talented,
yep.
And I think he's got some, when it comes to athleticism of all of the Lawsons, I think he's way up there. He's got a decent 3-ball to go along with it. I think he can develop as a player. He just didn't get that opportunity at Creighton. He thought he was going to transfer to Creighton and get a lot more minutes, and that's not how that all played out. So maybe he looks back at his Memphis days with a little bit more shine on them.
Yeah.
Considering he did get maybe sparing minutes, but he got minutes.
Absolutely. I would be very pleased if Lawson ended up back in a Memphis Tigers uniform. I thought he had a lot of talent and potential when he was here. I was sad to see him go. So I would welcome him back with open arms. And like you said, the roster absolutely needs it. But it's another, guy who understands the city of Memphis. He understands Penny Hardaway, and he would know what he wants. He's a pretty good defender. He's long on the defensive end. So he fits the profile of a guy that Penny's probably going after. I mean, Aaron Scott's not that much different than what Jonathan Lawson could possibly be. Aaron Scott, 6'7", long, lengthy defender that can shoot a 3-ball.
Just with more experience and more minutes.
Right, Jonathan Lawson kind of fits that profile. So I think it would be great if they got both of those guys.
No, I think it would be phenomenal. And I think, weirdly enough, it feels like Penny is going about this and the staff is going about this in a more quiet way. Like, there's been guys on campus we haven't really heard about. When P.J. Haggerty was on campus, we had no idea. The only guy that we got reported on was Dane Danger. Being on campus earlier this week. So it's a quieter portal cycle. But I'd say through 2 days, this is pretty phenomenal for Penny. You got to keep this momentum going. I wonder how much the Ashton Hardaway thing is going to sort of slow down that momentum. Let's revisit that, though. What does that say? Like, how much does that say about Penny and the program that his son is leading the program?
I don't think it says that much.
I don't know, man.
I just don't.
But it's hard not to read into it. This is his damn son.
Okay,
this is his son.
But that's where it's like there could be a lot of things going on. Like, Penny might understand that Ashton's not going to get a lot of playing time because he's not very good on the defensive end. And they could have had a conversation about, hey, let's sit down and talk. My teams, we learned this season that you have to be a plus defender to really be on the floor and for my teams to be effective in the schemes that I want to run. You don't necessarily match that. Let's see if there's another opportunity that you could go to where you get more playing minutes and you can develop there. It could be that simple. I don't really look into it that much. I don't think it has an overarching say of what's going on within the program. I think it's just the era of NIL that we're in.
Let's be honest, though. Sure, yeah, it's the era. But also, I think when you mix the fact that his 1 year on campus was just completely tumultuous.
It was drama-filled, sure.
Drama. Like, maybe that's got to play into at least to a certain extent.
Probably.
And he didn't get much minutes by the end of the year. Like, that's got to play into it. Like, ridding yourself of what you view as a potential toxic situation for yourself, even if you're the son of the coach, I think there's something to be said about that.
I think it could be as simple as the system doesn't really fit your game. You're not going to play much next season. I know that you want some playing time. Go find another place. I think it's that simple. I really do.
Could you have an exit interviews Ashton sitting in front of his dad. He's like, yeah, I don't know if you're going to get a lot of minutes next year,
but
son.
Doesn't,
that's tough. That would be a really tough conversation.
Isn't the flip side of that coin, though, that it is his dad, so he can have that tough conversation with him?
Sure, but again, it
also could go to...
You can look at this and not at least try to, you know, sort through it, because, you know, he was going to be one of the returning scholarship guys. He was the guy that you sort of banked on being here alongside Nick Jourdain before the transfer portal hit. And for him to leave and also be your son, it's just like you cannot not read into that. You have to at least try to use some context clues there.
I mean, you can read into it. I just don't think it was.
Clearly not good.
I don't know. That feels like an assumption, though, isn't it? Like, we can look into it and say this is what it says, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean that there's a massive toxic situation going on with the Memphis Tigers. It could just be, hey, you're not going to play a lot next season. You don't fit the schemes that I'm trying to run. If you want playing time, you probably need to go somewhere else. It's probably that simple. And hey, to be quite honest, I need your scholarship. Hey,
and I'll say this, you know, Jason and John always talk about Penny being the godfather. If he had that conversation with his son behind closed doors, that is godfather-esque.
Well, let's also think about it this way. We've talked a lot the past few seasons about you cannot keep everybody happy. That has been one of Penny's faults, is he tries to keep everybody happy. This could also be a move in the direction of, hey, man,
really keep my son happy in this situation.
Well, it's just I can't give you minutes next year just because you're my son.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
And that doesn't jive with the fan base, unless you deserve
right.
him. And stylistically,
so
he's not the most athletic,
and getting
up and down
time.
The floor with his lateral movement.
To me, it's not that. I mean, it's a little bit, but it's like a Lawson when they leave. Like, they have ties, and they're close, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it's just...
But they're not a Hardaway. They're not a Hardaway.
I'm not going to act like it's some huge signal as to what's going on, especially when the...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Day before they got P.J. Haggerty and Dane Dane. You know what I mean?
I'm just trying to talk through this.
Without P.J. Haggerty and Dane Danger already committing and then being tied to these other people, then I would think it would signal some huge thing going on. The fact that it happened post
and we've been hearing murmurs.
And we've been hearing murmurs of it. So that's why it's not some huge surprise. It's surprising in that it is Penny Hardaway's son.
Yes.
That is a surprising
surface
part
level, very surprising.
I just don't know if it signals some huge toxic situation going on. It certainly signals that, you know, Penny probably had a tough conversation with him, or Ashton had a tough conversation with Penny.
And
if
I
it is best
think,
for him
and,
to move on, then I wish him the best.
Here's a very realistic proposition, too. Like, you're looking at Penny. He knows his seat's warmer after last season,
sure.
The way it went. He needs all hands on deck. He needs all guys that he fully trusts to run his system, and maybe Ashton Hardaway just doesn't.
I think that's his – I I'm pretty sure that's probably what happened.
Yeah,
it came down to you're not going to play a ton next year. If you want some playing minutes, you probably should go somewhere.
There's
else.
A lot of possibilities.
It's awkward.
But it's just, it's so damn, like, it's just such a headline. Your son leaves campus and gets in the transfer portal.
I am curious where
transfers
he goes.
Away from his dad's program.
Sure. I'm curious where he goes, though.
Yeah. I think they'll be, again, he was a 4-star coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And it's not like he showed nothing last year.
Right.
I think people see some limitations with his game, especially on the defensive end and running the floor. But he can knock down a three ball. There is
he's
a system
talented.
Out there that he can fit in.
Well,
I don't
we saw
that.
The Michigan game. Like, he can do – that's the ability that he has. So maybe – I wish him the best. I hope he goes somewhere and, you know, works on that defense and gets some more confidence in that three-point shot.
Yep. Now, last night in college basketball, we're going to talk about the – I mean, the women's Final Four is coming up tonight, men's Final Four coming up tomorrow. The NIT final was pretty phenomenal, I have to say. Came down to a last possession for Indiana State where they're trying to put up a three ball. They had two block shots. They got one up, and then it was very close, but no cigar. Seton Hall ends up winning the NIT 79-77. And then right after, I feel for Indiana State. I imagine, like, the NCAA tournament committee looking at that game last night and, like, we effed up.
Oh, they
damn,
it was a huge
man.
F up.
That was a great.
Derry Bird should have been
honestly,
in front of America's
listen,
eyes.
Listen, Seton Hall, I think, was a good enough team to potentially be in the field as well. But Indiana State, for sure. What's sad, though, about Indiana State, they didn't even get a tournament in before Josh Schertz, their head coach, is leaving. He's going to SLU. And I'm happy for St. Louis. It's just tough to watch Indiana State go through such a good year where they ended up missing out on something in the NCAA tournament they should have been involved in, and now their coach is going to leave, and they're going to have to find a new one before this
offseason's up. It's got to be a gut punch if you're a fan, right?
It's brutal.
Like, if you look back when you were in January, you were like, oh, my God, we're going to the tournament. We're going to be one of America's teams, and then all of a sudden you miss out. You're in the NIT, and now your coach is leaving. You're like, what happened?
What strikes me, and I grew up, you know, in St. Louis going to Arch Madness, the Missouri Valley Conference tournament, every year.
Was it electric?
It's electric. It's phenomenal. It's so good. Like, I cannot stress that enough. The Missouri Valley Conference, even to this day, after how much they've accomplished in turn, I mean, back in the day, Bradley, for God's sakes, who's not even a good team, really, in the Missouri Valley Conference. They made a Sweet 16 and made a run in the tournament. But they have such consistent outcomes with the top of their conference that I don't know why Indiana State was not able to get in there. Because they don't get enough credit for what they do year to year. That's a good basketball conference. That's one of the better mid-major basketball conferences we have in this country.
I mean, St. Louis beat Memphis in a tournament once upon a time.
And let's think about this, too. Creighton, Wichita State, Loyola, Chicago, all were part of that conference at one point or another. And they ended up leaving because they needed bigger, better, and brighter things for their future. But the Missouri Valley Conference has done so well, and I just feel like they get gypped every year by getting an extra team in. They should have been a two-bid team.
I 100% agree. 100%
like Drake and Indiana State should have been in, and now Indiana State on the back end gets the you know, insult to injury of Josh Schertz heading to St. Louis going into the A-10. And I like the hire for St. Louis. That's a good hire. They've had some struggles. I mean, Travis Ford was decent at the beginning of his tenure, but since Rick Majerus left, they haven't been as consistent. Hopefully Josh Schertz can recreate that for them. Now, Ole Miss, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Chris Beard's not leaving. He turned that program around. They got the 21 wins this year, but he's not headed for Arkansas. I'm kind of surprised by that, to be honest with you. I wonder if he's waiting around to see what opens up next year. If, like, Kentucky opens up, maybe he'd be something for that. But I wonder how much this is reputation. If Arkansas ultimately said nothing and he's just telling his story, I'm going to stay at Ole Miss regardless. Or they just saw his reputation and said, no, we don't want him in the end of the day. But Ole Miss, you don't have to worry. It's trending in the right direction for you. It should trend in your direction still with Chris Beard for another year.
If I were an Arkansas fan, I would be happy with today's news. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and Jerome Tang, leading candidate at Kansas State. The only thing I'd say about that, and I like Jerome Tang. I think he's really good. They didn't bottom out this year, even after the Malik Nowell and Keontae Johnson thing, the Elite Eight, that dissipated. Didn't bottom out, and he can still recruit, and he still did fine in the Big 12. But he has a $6 million buyout if Arkansas wants to go hire him. And Will Wade's just sitting there at McNeese State, like, take me.
Will Wade would be my first choice of what's left, but Yiptang would be, you know, I think he'd be a good hire, but I would still make the phone call to Will Wade.
It is kind of strange, because if Will Wade does not get this job and Jerome Tang gets this job, I the only thing I can assume is that it has to do with his reputation. Because Will Wade's the better coach right now.
FBI investigation.
Yeah, but Will Wade is the better coach right now. Will Wade is the more experienced and proven coach at this level, and especially right there in the SEC, trying to get to the top of the SEC and recruiting talent and doing all that. It's strange to me that his reputation is still this bad. And I'm trying to spitball. I tried to spitball with Jeff yesterday, and he says, you know, it's the FBI investigation. But most of the stuff in the FBI investigation is relatively legal these days.
Right.
So, like, I still think that the reputation that we're talking about with him is just him as a guy. He's a little sleazy. He comes across as a salesman, a used car salesman at all times. Maybe that's what's keeping a lot of these high major programs from really going after Will Wade.
Probably
because
so.
Because even after the FBI investigation and everybody knew his fault at LSU, he didn't change a bit. He was still his same guy. He was going to do the same things until LSU fired him. And he did do the same things. LSU ultimately got rid of him. So maybe that is more of it, his style, who he is as a guy, as opposed to the FBI investigation at large. Because the FBI investigation, you know, Bill Self was caught up in that. There was a lot of different coaches that were caught up in that. But it feels like Will Wade is sort of held to a higher standard when it comes to sort of what happened with the FBI.
It's just a very funny pitch that it was illegal then. Not now. It was illegal then.
But at the same time, I don't know.
I would still hire him.
I would hire him. I would absolutely hire him. He's a great coach. And the fact that they'd be willing to potentially Arkansas to go pay a $6 million buyout to get Jerome Tang over a guy who's more proven,
just
strange.
I'm going to say it again. If one of them has a $6 million, why not make a call to Amir?
You love you some Amir Abdur-Rahim.
I think he's a really good basketball coach, and I think he would be really successful at a program like Arkansas. I very much believe he would be.
And he's got ties, G League and everything else. And he's got a bunch of ties. Like he could probably recruit if you give him resources. And he did good in the transfer portal this offseason, even at South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But that out-of-conference schedule, you have to improve upon that, and they actually would have made the tournament this year. But to get South Florida to a AP rank is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
Pretty good.
Got to give him credit for that. Now, final thing before we transition and get to a break. Bronny James, we've been wondering about him getting in the transfer portal. There's been, you know, conflicting reports with Eric Musselman heading to USC, but he will enter the 2024 NBA draft while maintaining his college eligibility and will also enter the transfer portal. He's got some decisions on the way. Listen, NBA draft, I don't know in what world he shouldn't spend another year or two in college. I don't know in what world. The only world is if whatever team gets him gets LeBron at the same time, but I think that sort of has dissipated at this point. That doesn't seem like a reality. And I didn't really think it was a reality on the forefront, but a lot of people made it, tried to force it to be a reality.
I think it was reality until Bronny had his medical scare. Once that happened, it became pretty clear, and even LeBron backed off of it of like, there's no way this kid's going to be able to make a jump to the NBA. He had a pretty, you know, I think he had a relatively successful season as a freshman in college basketball, considering what he went through. But at the end of the day, this is a normal process for a lot of kids to go through. They'll declare for the draft, go work out for some teams, get some notes, and then it feels like he's ultimately going to go back to college. I would be surprised if he stayed in the NBA draft because I don't think he's ready. And if I don't think he's ready,
he's not ready.
Then they probably know he's not ready. I believe that they just want to see how close he could potentially be, and they just want to get some notes about his game. You know, I think Bronny has a lot of potential.
I do. I really do.
Especially on the defensive end. He is a hard-nosed defender. I've said it a few times. He reminds me of a kind of DeAnthony Melton-type player. Some people have comped him to even a Mike Conley-esque as the ceiling. I don't hate those at all.
But what I see from him in his first year at USC, he's just a little bit outmatched right now.
Sure.
But that he played like a freshman. He was streaky shooting, and he got bullied by bigger guards.
Right.
That's what freshmen do. Not
but
like normal
really
freshman dudes, but he plays good defense. He's a hard-nosed guy. He can definitely knock down a three when you ask him to. He can handle the ball. He can get his teammates involved. I know that there's a lot of people that look at him as LeBron's son, and they think it's overhyped. I really do see an NBA player there. I see one. But not now.
Not now.
Not
no,
now.
Definitely not now.
I think the notes will come back exactly what I said. You get bullied by it. You need to get bigger. You need to get stronger. And you need to work on being less streaky as a shooter. And then we can start looking at it.
He's got to work on his three-point shot. That's probably the most important part of his game that he can work on. He has got to be effective from three. If he can't do that, he's going to really struggle, I think, to get to the next level. Because you have to be able to score from somewhere on the court. And he's already a bit undersized.
Yes.
He's okay around the rim, but he's not great. So you got to make sure that you can get that three-point shot. His defense is what's going to keep, you know, keep his potential up, though. It's his defensive upside.
Yeah, but even getting notes this year seems just overdone. He should probably just get in the transfer portal, go wherever he wants.
I mean, it's if you're the thing about being LeBron, I mean, part of it is
you'll get real notes.
You'll get real notes. You'll be told the truth. And there is a, like, 10% chance that, you know, some magic happens.
Maybe somebody.
No, I'm saying, like, maybe a deal is cut somewhere. You never know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe LeBron needs to figure out how much longer he needs to play. You never know what it could be.
Yeah.
I would just be very surprised if he didn't end up back in college. But I would think it'd be a bad decision.
I think it'd be a really bad decision.
Yeah.
He needs
Duquesne feels like that's where he should go, you know?
Yeah. Well, but I think
Memphis.
I think he's a high major player. I think he can play a high major role somewhere.
Is that Penny Hardaway's music?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if that would work out. I'll say this. No matter what happens, LeBron and Bronny will pick up the phone if Penny calls. I just don't know if that's ever something that's going to become a reality. And I know people want it to become a reality, but I just don't see it.
I do wonder if he could end up back at USC, though.
Musselman could probably maximize. He's developed some guys in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see. But I think even testing the waters.
It's an interesting day of stories, though, with NBA players' kids, with Bronny and Ashton.
Yeah, but testing the waters even just feels overblown. But
it's
but
a
that's
normal
fine.
Thing.
You can do that. You
if
can
it,
do that.
If
that
it wasn't Bronny, it wouldn't be news.
Yes, 100%. 100%. But we'll see how that all ages. We'll see. And I guess he'll have a decision by the time we get done with the NBA. May 31st is when he's going to have to make a decision by. So we'll see.
I hope he doesn't go to the NBA draft.
I really hope
he doesn't.
Undrafted, no doubt. If he decides to stay in,
if he goes, he'll be a G League player.
Yes, two-way type deal.
Maybe that's their plan, though. Who knows?
I just think that would be a foolish plan.
Yeah,
he can season himself and make himself into an NBA prospect. You don't have to force it for no reason after 1 year,
right?
Because I think he'd get a lot more. He would benefit a lot more from playing in college for another year or two than he would being a two-way guy who's not counted on in the G League.
Yeah, the game needs to slow down for him still a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And he needs to get stronger and he needs to get bigger. You don't want to demoralize this kid's thought process and his mind before he even gets to the league,
right,
before he even has a chance to go pro.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We need to go ahead and grab a break, though, and when we come back, we'll transition into the NBA. The Grizzlies have a heck of a weekend on the way. It'll be Marc Gasol night. Tomorrow we'll see that 33 go up into the rafters, so we'll talk about that next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We're gearing up for what is likely to be the biggest Grizzlies weekend of the season because they are 26-50. You haven't really had much to root for as far as on the court, potential postseason. But Marc Gasol will be retired tomorrow as a Grizzly. That 33 will go up into the rafters. Now, tonight will be versus the Pistons. The Marc Gasol game will be tomorrow versus the 76ers. Marc Gasol did announce when he was with the press today that all the core four will be here. It's going to be a tough schedule there for Mike Conley, though. I got to say, he's got a 9 o'clock game tonight. And I would imagine he'll travel tomorrow morning, but then he'll have to get in Memphis and then, you know, fly back so he can play for the Timberwolves. But it looks like everybody will be here, and that's nice to see, man. That's really awesome to see. But Marc Gasol, when he was talking to the press, just talked about how much the city embraced him, how much he embraces the city. It's going to be a lovely night. It really will be tomorrow night at FedEx Forum. And it should be one of the best crowds of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be special having all of the core four in the building at the same time. I think Chris Harrington sent out that it will be the first time that they've all been together on the floor since, you know, 2017 or something like that. So it's been a long while since the city of Memphis has seen those four players together. And it just shows you how close all of those guys are that Mike is going to potentially have a travel day like that to make sure that he's here for Mark's special moment. I cannot wait. I'll be in the building for it. It is absolutely going to be a bright spot in a season that has not been awesome for the Memphis Grizzlies, but it's nice that everybody's going to be able to come together and celebrate a player like Marc Gasol, who not only represents the Memphis Grizzlies at the highest level, but also the city of Memphis.
And it looks like Quincy Pondexter. We're going to have Rudy Gay.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Rudy Gay will be back. And Tom Darrell Arthur. And there might be some more of those guys.
Darrell Arthur, you mean BC version 1?
Yes. But no, seriously, it sounds like a lot of guys will be showing up. And yeah, that's fun to see. That's really fun to see.
Those teams are special.
They were, 100%. And, again, we talked about it the other day. They're, like, just latching on to the city's identity. Rough and tumble, grit and grind, you know, working-class city. That means something. I do think that this iteration of the Grizzlies has the same opportunity to sort of seize that and latch on to the city. And you've seen it with John. You've seen it with Jaren and Bane. Like, they love being here. But that thing's, you know, with the core four, it's already in the past, so we know what ultimately came of it. But it's very fun to see. It's very fun to see them all come back. Now, I will say this, on the floor tonight, it looks like they're saving up all of their bodies so they can win tomorrow against the 76ers. I mean, are you seeing the same as me?
I am seeing that,
this,
yes.
Injury report for the Pistons tonight. Again, we will pass you off at 6:30 to Jessica Benson for pregame tip. We'll be at 7. But tonight's game's not going to be all that fun. Now, you're playing the Pistons, so I guess you have a chance to win no matter any time you play the Pistons. They have 13 wins all year. But Luke Kennard is doubtful, so he likely will not play. Then Santi Aldama, Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., all out as well.
Take the GG over. That's my best advice to anybody.
Do your best DeJounte Murray impression. Put up 44 shots. I don't care. I want to see him on ball all night. Let's go. Scottie Pippen Jr.? Maybe we could see some...
big night.
We could see a big night from him
maybe
tonight. But it seems like they're saving up. So, hey, give the home crowd what they want. I think this is a very good thing by the Grizzlies to sit out all the good players, wait till Saturday when there's a lot of butts in the seats, hopefully bring home a win against a really good 76ers team, now the Joel Embiid.
That certainly seems to be the plan, is they understand that this home game is going to be a special one for Memphis, and they want the team to be as healthy as it possibly can at this very moment for the home crowd, and they want to be able to compete against a team like the 76ers on Marc Gasol's night. So, yeah, I totally agree with the decision to basically sit everybody tonight and make sure they're ready to go for tomorrow.
Of all the injury reports, though, this, weirdly enough, this might be the most disgusting injury report of the
year. When it came out yesterday, I just started laughing. It was... It needs to be put in, like, the Brooks Art Museum or something.
Yeah, and
like,
what happened, by the way, what happened crazy with Santi? Like, he was supposed to start, and he got pulled out
because he's got
a foot soreness.
Oh,
he got pulled out.
That's not great.
Yeah. I'm still worried about Vince. I will say that.
I just don't want to talk about it.
Next time Vince plays, I really want to see, like, they bring out the Stone Cold Steve Austin music, and he runs out of the tunnel that way.
I want him to come down from the ceiling like Sting and just start beating people with a baton.
That would be great.
I'm back. Whack.
I'm getting worried about him. I really am.
I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
A little bit.
The PTSD is just too hard to overcome, right? Like, because they've not been as – they don't need to be as forthcoming as people act like they need to be, but they have not been forthcoming about injuries in the past.
Tendonitis is just never great.
Well, tendonitis, if it is strictly tendonitis.
Right.
It's a pain management thing. And if he does not want to manage the pain for the last 6 games of the year, I completely understand that. Like, there's no reason for him to be out there. We've seen what we need to see from Vince going into next year. He will be a part of the rotation. He'll be one of the first reserves if Marcus Smart gets back healthy and is in the starting lineup. But the fact that he hasn't played and he went from doubtful to out completely, you just have questions. You just have questions.
Well, it just feels like a season, too, where the Grizzlies aren't allowed to have anything nice.
Yes. Yes, and hopefully next year's better.
It has to be better.
Isn't that one thing that does worry you about next year and the next 2 years?
It can't be worse.
No, it can't be worse, but they have just, like, the luck the past 2 years. Like, the basketball gods, the karma.
Listen,
has been very bad.
If you look at the past 2 seasons, you can make a case karmically that this was deserved. Karmically.
We'll
that's absolutely, that's above board.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think it's made up, but.
Every word's made up, Gabe. Moving on. Karmically, you could say that this season was a bit deserved by these young Memphis Grizzlies, and they needed the humbling to be able to reach the mountaintop. That's the way I'm looking at it.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's the Prince of Positivity spin that we're going to be rolling with.
Yeah, Prince of Positivity. You're the man. You're the man. Prince of Positivity. We get that a fair amount with you. But when you were the Giannotto and Jeffrey,
those were happier days. Not for me personally, just for like, well, I mean, they were happy days.
Yes.
I want to make that very clear.
Yes.
But for the Grizzlies, they were much happier days. We were in the playoffs then.
Now, the women's Final Four tonight, NC State and South Carolina will take on each other at 6 o'clock. I think South Carolina is going to absolutely wipe the floor with them, but that's beyond the point. And then UConn versus Iowa will be the late game tonight. A couple of interesting bits of news that came out the past 2 days about women's basketball. Angel Reese is going to declare for the WNBA draft. For those that, you know, look at Angel Reese's personality and her style and who she is as a basketball player, and sort of the celebrity she is. I don't know if her celebrity matches where she'll actually go in the WNBA draft, because there's a couple of bigs that will go above her. Camila Cardoso from South Carolina, and then also Cameron Brink from Stanford. Those are the bigs that are – so she's slated right now in the WNBA draft to be the seventh overall pick. She's got to do some things with her shot, and we know that, you know, as far as what she does well, it's defense – rebounds and getting up and down the floor. So she's going to be in the first round, but late in the first round. And then also, this was interesting to me, Haley Van Lith, who had to cover Caitlin Clark in the Elite Eight game, and she got absolutely cooked by Caitlin Clark. Caitlin had 41 points, 9 for 20 from 3. She was on an island the whole night. She is going portaling. She's no longer going to be at LSU after averaging 11 points per game this year. That's tough. Caitlin Clark sent her into the portal. Is that how we're going to paint that?
Maybe so, or, you know, her being left on an island by her coach sent her into the portal.
That was brutal.
That was tough.
That was not fun.
Well, because everyone in America
was
like, it wasn't necessarily her fault.
Well, everybody in America before the game was saying, put Flaw J. Johnson. She's got some athleticism to keep, more athleticism than Haley Van Lith to keep up with her. And she put Haley Van Lith on the island the entire game.
The absolute funniest tweet I saw about the entire thing. The Ryan Gosling corner one was fantastic, but the funniest one was somebody put Larry Bird's quote about being guarded by a white guy onto a picture of Caitlin Clark. Absolutely floored me.
Yes.
Floored me.
UConn and Iowa, though, tonight. I know we had 12.3 million watch Iowa versus LSU. I think we'll get close to that number tonight for the Final Four, for that second game, that 8:30 game.
Probably so.
Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
Paige
it's a huge
Beckers
game.
Versus Caitlin Clark is going to be that's great entertainment. That is phenomenal entertainment. And, you know, if you do want to bet on it, I have some way to do that as well, because the sports calendar is loaded. And FanDuel's making it even more exciting to get in on the action, because right now new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use to bet the tourney, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K. And make your first bet a big win. FanDuel is America's number one sports book. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire just 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. We're about to get to hour number two, and we start hour number two every single day with Jeff Calkins. Today is no exception. So let's go ahead and grab this break. Jeff Calkins on the other side.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!